Welcome to BioTalk. I'm Jeff Meyerson, CEO and co-founder at Locust Walk, and you're listening to BioTalk, our podcast for biotech dealmakers. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Kendall Berlin O'Connell, the CEO and president of MassBio. MassBio, a non-for-profit organization that represents and provides services and support for the Massachusetts life sciences industry, is the nation's oldest and largest biotechnology trade association. With over 1,600 dedicated members, MassBio has served as a global hub for life sciences and healthcare since 1985, with a focus on disease prevention, treatment, and cure through transformative science and technology. Kendall leads the strategic direction for the organization and champions policy advocacy for the industry, ensuring that Massachusetts' life science companies have the best possible environment for research, development, and manufacturing and commercializing breakthrough therapies and cures for people worldwide. Kendall has received significant acclaim for her leadership, earning recognition such as a spot on the Boston Business Journal's 2023 Power 50 Movement Makers list and ranking 33rd, I wonder who the other 32 are, I think they made a mistake, on Boston Magazine's The 150 Most Influential Bostonians in 2023, among other honors. Welcome, Kendall. Let's dive in.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. Can't wait to chat.
Absolutely. So, to kick things off, I would love for you to provide our audience with some background as to about you and what led you into the life sciences.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because a lot of times people will say, oh, okay, so did you always, were you interested in life sciences? Did you think you'd be working in the biotech space? And the answer is no across the board. Before my time at MassBio, although I've been at MassBio for a long time now, I started October 27th, 2008.
Good timing.
Great timing. Yes. Actually, it's funny, right? My journey here at MassBio has really sort of been running in parallel to much of the growth journey that we've seen for the life science cluster here in Massachusetts. So I've been along for the ride, so to speak. But before my time at MassBio, I was an attorney practicing estate planning and elder law. And so certainly if you had said, well, okay, in 15 years, do you think you'll be the CEO of the largest life science trade organization in the country, I would have said, no, I don't even really know what that means.
How'd you make that transition? What got you into this?
Yeah. So, back then I was, after practicing that area of law for a few years, it was clear this was not the right area for me. I'm a little bit too social, a little bit too gregarious for that area of practice, although quite important. So I was looking for another job opportunity, and then through networking, I'd heard MassBio, and we were MBC at the time for all of you. Yep. Old school MassBio members, you'll remember that name, was looking for someone to run our purchasing consortium. And ideally, they were looking for a lawyer who could negotiate contracts, but also sell. And so Bob Coughlin, who was the CEO and president of MassBio at the time, said, come interview. Like, this job seems to be a good fit for you. And I did. And actually, I'd been offered another position working for, at the time, it was the Mass Highway Department. I was going to get back into employment law. He said, don't do that. Come work here, because this is the most exciting industry in the world. We are helping patients around the world. And Massachusetts is just about to be the best place in the world for this industry. And so I said, okay, how do you say no to those things? I'm in. But it's funny because I really knew nothing about the industry and I didn't know anything about life sciences. And I always tell this story because it makes me laugh and it's a good reminder to just believe in yourself. So my first day at the job here at MBC at the time, Bob had hired a woman to oversee the purchasing consortium. And so she was really seasoned, been in industry for a long time. And so my first day, and it's one of those days, right? Like, I remember my outfit. I remember everything about the day because it was a new opportunity and it was a pretty big pivot for me career-wise.
Oh, yeah.
She looked at me and said, I don't know why they hired you. You are not the right person for the job. You aren't from industry. You know nothing about industry. And I don't think you're going to be here that long. Here's a binder with what you need to know. Good luck.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, in total fairness, she was right. Right. On paper, I probably didn't make very good sense for that job. But again, what she didn't know is I'm pretty feisty and I really am willing to outwork almost anyone. So sort of rolling up my sleeves and just doing a listening tour to understand actually what members were looking for was so important. I spent almost probably 4 or 5 months just being out in the streets listening. And then because of that, so I started in October. By April 2009, I'd been able to negotiate our Thermo Fisher agreement, which was a pretty big change for us. That agreement was valued at about $45 million at the time. We were the competitor's second largest global customer. But Thermo Fisher was willing to really think creatively outside the box, implement a lot of the feedback that I'd heard on my listening tour, and they are still one of our greatest partners here at MassBio. And that agreement, when we signed that 10-year extension recently, was valued at about $4 billion.
Wow. That's awesome.
So that was the start of a long ride here at MassBio.
So tell me a little bit more about how your role evolved, a little bit more about you as a person, and also how did MassBio come to be, and how did things evolve to where you took over as CEO?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with how MassBio came to be, and then I'll talk a little bit about my journey here. So as you mentioned in the opening, you know, we are, I like to say, the first and finest, the first life science trade organization in the world, and the finest because we are fortunate to represent the number one life science cluster in the world. So founded in 1985, and really around sort of two core objectives. One was to educate, at the time, city councilors on what biotechnology was, right? Biotechnology was a pretty scary word then, and there was a lot of probably miscommunication and lack of understanding about what this industry meant for the community. The other reason was, at the time it was Genzyme and Biogen and Genetics Institute and a few other companies got together and thought, geez, if we aggregated our spending power, we could probably save money on some of these things like lab supplies and specialty gases that are really important to our companies. And it's funny because those two objectives are still very core to everything that MassBio does each and every day. And it's actually pretty surprising how much there still is a lack of understanding about what this industry means for communities and broadly the patient population. You know, there's over 90 towns in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that are rated through our BioReady community ratings program. And that's a program that we put together to let companies that are looking to relocate or locate in Massachusetts know how ready a city or town is for their lab or manufacturing space, and think sort of, do they have municipal sewer, water, zoning, et cetera. So 90 cities and towns are rated, but we're still sort of doing that active exercise about educating our partners in government, whether it's at a state level or municipal leaders, on what it means to be a partner to life sciences in their community. When you think about my career trajectory here, I said I started in 2008. And so that was really, I think, a pretty pivotal time, as I mentioned, for the growth of our industry here in Massachusetts, but also the growth of MassBio as a life science trade organization. Just as a reminder to everyone, you know, it was in 2008 that our partners in government made a huge investment into the life sciences in Massachusetts with the Life Science Initiative, right? That was our 10-year billion-dollar investment into life sciences. And that was the inflection point for so much of the growth that we have, as a cluster, have experienced here. If you look at that time frame, those 15 years, from an employment perspective, in Massachusetts, in the biopharma space, we've grown by over 110% during that time frame. So you can really, there's a direct correlation to that investment. So I started running the purchasing consortium, and then probably in 2012 moved to overseeing membership, right? Because the purchasing consortium was a real core deliverable. Our small to medium-sized companies know that by utilizing our purchasing consortium, they're getting huge market share, really, really competitive pricing, and that's money that they can put back into their science, which was the key objective of creating a purchasing consortium. And then I moved into the COO role in 2018, which was an interesting time for us. We were in the process of moving our office space. We were in the process of doing our 2020 strategic report. So there were a lot of key initiatives for the organization that I was overseeing. And then in 2021, Bob Coughlin announced that he was going to be leaving MassBio after his 13 years of leadership. And I was named president of the organization at the time. You know, it was interesting because I'd worn most hats of the organization, but I'd never worn that policy hat. And so it was sort of believed we needed to have a somebody, you know, deeply entrenched in policy. But in January 2023, I was officially named CEO and president. So I get to now wear that policy hat.
Hey, we've only been a little more than a year. It feels like you've been there forever.
It really does feel like I've been there forever. But when I look back at this last year, I'm so proud of what the team has been able to accomplish. I think we're on this really cool next chapter for MassBio as an organization. I think we're really starting to think outside the box more. I think we're really trying to do that listening tour, which has always been a hallmark of my time here, understanding what do our members want from us as a trade organization, as a partner, and how can we be really creative on implementing some of that feedback?
So what is your vision then as CEO? Where do you want to take the organization?
That's a really great question. And I want us to talk about that again in September, because we are now embarking on our 2030 strategic report. And that becomes really the core roadmap for everything we as an organization do. But more importantly, sort of it's a forward-looking opportunity for us to think about where the industry is going. But, you know, Jeff, I tell them this all the time, and they laugh and probably roll their eyes at me, but they know it's the right thing to do. Like, we are on a storytelling journey here at MassBio, and our journey is about doing a better job of telling the incredible story about what our industry means in multiple ways. One, as an economic engine for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, but most importantly, the role we play for patients around the world. And I try to get the team to think of what we do in four key pillars, right? So there's policy, there's economic development, there's innovation, and patience. And if we can tell a story that sort of hits all of those notes, then we are doing that story justice in what our job is. And innovation, I think, is the area that I'm most excited about. And this is where we're so fortunate to partner with you and your team and so many other real thought leaders that we're fortunate to have within our ecosystem here. But, and we'll talk probably more about this, but our program, you know, our MassBio Drive program and our PharmaDay program are just scratching the surface around what we can do on this innovation front. And hopefully we talk about this at some point too. Our Align Summit will be in our second year of this. And again, just the start of something that I think can be a real game changer for what we're doing here in our ecosystem.
Oh, we're definitely get to that. And appreciate the kind words. I guess, so it sounds like it's actually really smart. So your goals are what the industry's goals are. So when you're doing this report, which will come out in September, that's going to be a compilation, I imagine, of lots of listening, to use your words, and make sure that what the industry needs, you're reflecting. And so you're continuing on from before, and obviously you're focusing on new programs and things you've been doing well, but you'll really think about the strategic pivot once you get that new report. Is that fair?
That's exactly right. You know, again, I pride ourselves on being a really nimble organization and truly responsive to the needs and feedback of our member companies. And I think time and time again, if you look back on what we've done from offerings of, you know, our core deliverables and other things like our hub, our business and conference center, these all came about because of feedback from our community. And as part of our 2030 strategic report, this will be a major listening tour. We will interview hundreds of stakeholders in person. We'll do surveys, but really try to synthesize all of this feedback to give us a clear roadmap for what we need to do tactically to continue to support the industry and what we need to do from an advisory perspective to encourage our other stakeholders, whether it's our partners in government or other key elements of our community here, whether it's academia or industry or hospitals, et cetera.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess one question that I've had on my mind, I actually didn't put this in the prep notes, but I'm sure you'll be able to speak on your feet because that's who you are, is every state and candidly, I would say every country who has an interest in biotech wonders what Massachusetts mm-hmm. is doing right to make it far and away the number one cluster. I know that you guys, you especially, but the whole organization has always been very collaborative with other areas. You don't view Massachusetts as competitive with other states. You're very open-minded about that. Maybe you could share, what do you think has been the secret sauce that has led or propelled Massachusetts to such a leadership role, and what's going to keep it there?
Yeah, this is a great question, Jeff. And it actually, recently, I've been doing a lot of this around the country, going to other states and talking about what has made our ecosystem so unique, but also best practices that can be learned and shared from, you know, what we have. And listen, if what we do is all about patients, I love Massachusetts. Obviously, we do a lot to represent what an amazing cluster Massachusetts is. And I want companies to come here. I want companies to stay here and grow here. But at the end of the day, it's really about what we can do to provide tools and resources to support companies and science and accelerate that science to bring solutions to patients. So we as a team shouldn't care where that science is happening. And if we can help unlock our robust ecosystem to help accelerate that science to bring a solution to patients, then that is our job. So things that we have here that are truly unique, and this isn't a surprise to everyone, right? We know we have our best-in-class academic institutions, over 120 academic institutions here. We have world-class hospitals. We have over 1,000 biotech companies here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I'm not saying bio, pharma, med device. I'm saying biotech companies, right? A lot of clusters, you'll hear them say, oh, we have 1,000 life science companies. No, biotech. And because of those biotech companies, we've been able to recruit 18 of the top 20 biopharma to have a physical presence here. And we're continuing to see more of that activity every day.
So it's the small companies that attract the big companies, is your thesis?
Absolutely. I truly believe that. And we're seeing that play out right now, right? When we talk about what's happening in the market and the opportunity for more M&A activity than we've seen in a long time, it's because of this. So we've got all of these key ingredients, and many other clusters also have some of these key ingredients, but it was truly that partnership that we had from government that came in, right? I think the Life Science Initiative and that direct investment into this industry was that inflection point that created this opportunity for success, right? We had the perfect storm for success with all of those key ingredients, but had we not had that strategic investment, I don't know that we would be the global hub for research and development. So other clusters, when they're thinking about this, it is about collaboration. And I think here in Massachusetts, we collaborate better than any other place in the world. And I'll just say, we saw that sort of practically play out most recently with being named the ARPA-H Investor Catalyst Hub, right? That was a highly competitive process, and other clusters were very much actively pursuing that opportunity. But at the end of the day, and that process happened on a pretty tight time frame when you're thinking about it, right? Buzz had been out there. But from when you had to submit your RFP and do some of the on-site visit with ARPA-H, like, that was just a matter of a couple weeks. And we were able to get every key stakeholder on the same page in a tight timeline and offer the best response to that proposal, the best on-site tour of what we have here in Massachusetts, and to win. And so, you know, I talk a lot about collaboration and what we do here, but that was practical application and nice validation for what we talk about.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is that, since you know that I and my team put on a lot of events, I find it's a lot easier to get events off the ground here. Someone said to me, when you were starting BioBreak here, there's too many events, there's no need. I think we found that there is a need. It's easier to get new things started here and people will go to them, even though there's already a lot of other activities going on in other geographies. It's actually more challenging to get people together to meet. I think it's very interesting. I don't know how that culture evolved, but that's something that I've noticed myself in the cluster.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. And again, time and time again, I will say that is how we continue to maintain our leadership status. It is through collaboration and sort of putting the ego at the door and understanding we need to work together to continue to invest and support what we have here.
So it wouldn't be a conversation if we didn't address the challenges the industry has faced in the last couple of years. Obviously, we've been no stranger to that here in Massachusetts. Give me a sense, or give the audience a sense, as to what you're hearing from the companies and investors you speak with about how's the downturn impacting them, and what do they see as their crystal ball for the future, if you could share.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, last year there was so much apprehension about what was happening and what would be happening, right? I think you can speak to this. Coming out of JP Morgan from 2023 and 2024 felt a lot different.
Yep.
And the benefit that we have here in Massachusetts is we are a mature ecosystem. So typically when there is some type of market reset, and we've seen this time and time again, just since 2008, right? There's been a few of those moments of uncertainty in the market. Massachusetts is usually the last to enter and the first to leave, right? Because of the maturity that we have in this. And so, of course, we saw, you know, companies struggling to get those funding rounds. But when you look at the numbers in our industry snapshot report that we released in the beginning of January, showed all in all, 2023 was a pretty good year. And when I say pretty good year, I mean, it was the fourth largest VC funding year on record. When you pull out those sort of anomaly years of 2020, 2021, it was pretty darn good. And I think in 2019, if we thought, oh, we would have received $7.7 billion of VC investment coming to Massachusetts headquartered companies, we probably would have high-fived each other. Right?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's just tough when you create all those extra companies and all the extra money gets invested and then it gets just taken away. There's just a lot of pain, a lot of layoffs, a lot of company closures, which it's hard to avoid when the punch bowl gets taken away from the party.
Oh, definitely. And it was a challenging year. And a lot of what we were reading in the media was about those layoffs and those company closures. But also, this is a really challenging industry. It is a risky industry to invest in. And if you are a traditional biotech investor, you know that. And because we are such a robust ecosystem, every one of those layoffs that happened or company closures, fortunately, that talent was cycled right back into our ecosystem. Because although companies were sometimes scaling down, we were also seeing jobs being added, right? New companies being created or companies scaling. So for all, and I'm an optimistic person by nature, and so for all the challenges and the negative that we saw, I think we did see a lot of positives. And one I'll point out, which I'm sure my friends in real estate might, you know, debate me on, but for so long, you know, we had no availability, frankly, of lab space, definitely in Cambridge, starting to see that in Boston. And that's why we saw the industry start to regionalize around the Commonwealth. But that was a challenge, right? Companies that wanted to break into our market couldn't find a place to go, or companies that were ready to scale couldn't find space that met their needs. And so what was happening is they were either, if they were fortunate enough to find space, they were taking on way more space than they needed, spending way more than they needed, just to ensure that they had a place to grow into. So now, obviously, we saw this huge influx of development happening. I mean, frankly, we almost doubled our capacity in the matter of 3 or 4 years. And a lot of that isn't filled yet. But for me, I think it creates incredible opportunity. I think, one, companies who for so long hadn't been able to break into our market and maybe sort of wrote off our market can now come back and think about Massachusetts. I think it's a great opportunity for us to recruit more of big pharma to have significant presence here. And for our homegrown companies like that are ready to grow and scale, they know that they'll be able to find space that meets their needs, and they're not going to have to sort of waste revenue on something that wasn't what they needed at that time.
Yeah, and that is actually a really good spin of, I guess, a challenging situation that it does create new opportunities. I wish you could say the same about residential real estate, which obviously the costs in the state have maintained a very high level, and that's one of the barriers to attracting the best talent. I'm curious what you think about that from MassBio's perspective.
Oh, absolutely, right? What are the top four questions a company asks when they're thinking about Massachusetts? What's your workforce like? What's your housing like? What's your transportation like? What's your childcare like? I mean, the reality is we don't have great answers to any of those. But what I will tell you is, and from speaking now more frequently around the country, these challenges are not unique to us here in Massachusetts, right? When I was in South Carolina recently, they were complaining about all of these same challenges within their ecosystem, probably right in different ways, but a clear similarity. The reality is Massachusetts is an expensive place to do business. And this is why I think it's so important to continue to invest in regionalizing around the Commonwealth, because as you go outside of Boston and Cambridge, there is more availability and affordability of housing. Transportation system gets a bit better, right? But these are key issues. And the great news is our administration really understands these challenges, our current administration. And in all of our conversations with them, they want to proactively work with our industry to find solutions. I mean, they get it. They want Massachusetts to remain the leader in life sciences and just hyper competitive when it comes to economic development, growth, and opportunity. So these are huge challenges that are going to take a long time to even scratch the surface of solving. But I do think we've got incredible partners in government that understand these challenges and are willing to work collaboratively.
Yep, that's awesome. So may I pivot then to your favorite topic of innovation. And curious what types of things, we'll get to the Align Summit, I guess, in a second, but what types of things is MassBio doing to foster innovation in the sector?
Yeah, so I love this area because, again, I think this is MassBio's real differentiator when you think about other clusters and other life science trade organizations. I think we do an incredible job about having very tangible impact on our innovation economy here in Massachusetts. And our DRIVE program, when I think back of all the things that we as an organization have implemented or created over the, you know, almost 16 years that I've been here, DRIVE is one of the programs that I'm most proud about. Thinking about how do we continue to support our founder community, those very, very early stage companies. And we're giving them reasons, not just to stay here in Massachusetts, but I think more importantly, we're unlocking our ecosystem to help support these companies. So our DRIVE program, we were really thoughtful about this, right? We had an entrepreneurial accelerator program that existed for about a decade at Mass Connect, but we knew it sort of, at the time it was created, it was definitely filling a need in our market. But we knew it sort of had timed out, right? And there are tons of accelerators available in our market. So if we're going to do this, one, we want to be best in class. Two, we want to make sure there's a clear need that we're filling. And we want our companies to feel like they're really getting something of value out of it. And so I think we've hit all of those notes with our DRIVE program. It's 8 weeks, 6 weeks of clear curriculum. We have amazing experts that are involved in it. And we've got a huge mentor pool, and we're finding some of the coolest science that we have seen in a really long time. The other thing that I'll mention is these companies aren't just from Massachusetts. We are finding companies from all around the country and all around the globe, frankly. But again, unlocking what we have here in Massachusetts so they can succeed. Like, we've had companies from Argentina, Canada, Nebraska, California, some from Massachusetts, sure, but I think that's what's really cool and unique about this program. And I think it sets a great foundation for more. In this vein of listening tour, too, it's been clear that we need to do more to cultivate a community of support around our founders. We want to keep founders here in Massachusetts. We know we're training them here. We don't want them to leave and go to Silicon Valley or anywhere else. So we need to make sure that they feel supported. Although we have such a robust ecosystem, it can be really challenging to navigate. You know this better than anyone. That's why so many of our, you know, biotech community work with you in the Locust Walk team to help navigate this. And so Massachusetts should be a partner in helping to navigate this ecosystem as well.
Spend another 30 seconds on what DRIVE is, just to make sure it's clear. How do you apply? What do mentors do? Just so everyone understands the context for that.
Thank you. Yes. So MassBio DRIVE is MassBio's Entrepreneurial Accelerator Program. It is an 8-week program. We offer two cohorts a year, so one in the fall, one in the spring. Our spring cohort is about to launch just in the next couple of weeks, the beginning of March. They will get 6 weeks of set curriculum, different areas, think IP, think funding, these type of things that an early, very early stage company needs. They'll also get a pitch refinement opportunity. They'll work with a partner on that to make sure their pitch is down. And then we have a demo day at the culmination of the event. We typically get, you know, 50 to 100 companies apply for each cohort, and we only accept five or six. So really, really tight competition. We've got an amazing advisory board that helps to score the companies. And every company that we've had that's participated has seen incredible value and really acceleration during that 8 week period. And now they're well positioned to get that seed funding. So these are typically pre-seed companies, by the way.
So, like, why come in without the money, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So please check out MassBio's website if you're interested or you know a company that could be a good fit for this program.
Cool. So let's move to Align. So how did the idea for this come? This is only the second year. Just give us a little history and what you hope to accomplish with the conference.
Yeah, so our second year, and again, just in that vein of trying to fill a need in our ecosystem, we're all about supporting those very, very early stage companies and creating opportunities. You know, at MassBio, we think of ourselves as a convener, a connector, and a catalyzer for the industry. And so, particularly with coming into a year of market reset, it was like, what more can we do to make sure that we're giving our early stage biotech community exposure for investment opportunity, for partnership opportunity? And it was clear that there needed to be more of an event around this that was local. You know, of course, going to something like JP Morgan is a challenge for those very, very early stage companies. It's incredibly expensive. You got to fly across the country, and we've got all of the stakeholders right here that those founders need. So how do we kind of create an event that we can showcase the science that's going on here and create those opportunities for partnership and investment? And so that's really fundamentally what Align is about. Last year, we did it in parallel to our State of Possible conference, our annual meeting, because we knew we get a lot of our community together during that time frame. So let's capitalize on that. So again, this year we'll be doing that in partnership with Locust Walk. In partnership, our thought partner is McKinsey. We've got Lilly involved. We've got Danaher involved. We've got F Prime Capital involved, and so many others. 50 companies are going to be presenting this year. So both in biotech and AI ML. So it's going to be super exciting. There's a bunch of content around it. It's April 25th. It's at the Royal Sonesta. And it really is that opportunity to showcase the incredible science that's happening here in Massachusetts, but more importantly, to set these early stage companies up for those funding opportunities that they so desperately need.
Cool. So if I were someone who wanted to attend or to listen in, how would I find out more information?
You can go right to massbio.org, check out the Align Summit on the events page of our website. It's got all of the information there. Again, an incredible agenda from a content perspective, but what it really is about are these 50 companies presenting, checking out the science that's happening, getting an opportunity to pull our investor community together and quick hit, get to see all of this science that's happening and creating these partnership opportunities.
Well, I really appreciate you, Jason, and your whole team, including Locust Walk, in this. What I would say about it is we've done our own therapeutic conferences the last 2 years, one in stem cell biology, one in RNA medicine. And this year we were going to do one in AI-enabled drug discovery, kind of a hot topic. And we realized after going to the Align Summit, why would we want to do this separate? Why not collaborate? We got to do it in person. So we're doing this one together and we're just combining forces. And I'm thrilled. We're thrilled to be a part of it. So thanks for including us.
Yeah, we are too, Jeff. And you just said it, right? This is the power of our ecosystem here, right? When amazing partners and, you know, folks can collaborate instead of doing things on their own. Why would we walk this on our own? Why not bring in all of these leaders and thought leaders together so we can have the best possible event?
Well, Massachusetts and the industry is lucky to have you as CEO. So great to talk with you. Thanks for the time. Thanks for everything that you do. And I really enjoyed the conversation.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for having me. You know, it's partners like you that make our community so special. Thank you for everything you do to support our innovation community here. And I'm just so fortunate. I say every day, I have the best job in the world. The work we do at MassBio is so cool. We get to support these incredible companies that are changing the lives of people around the world. And I just get to play a small part in that. So really exciting.
Slightly better than estate planning, I guess, right?
Slightly. Just kidding. The best.
Awesome, Kendall. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of BioTalk. Please share your thoughts and feel free to suggest potential topics and guests for future episodes. We look forward to continuing a productive dialogue and hope you tune into our next podcast. Please share with all your friends and colleagues to help us grow the audience. This is Jeff Meyerson for BioTalk, signing off.